Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always a privilege and an honor to come in fellowship with the body of Christ, as we all are partakers in the household of faith, as we come together to study the word of God one with another. God never intended for us to be alone. And we are taking advantage of this opportunity at this time to come together with the brethren and the believers in Christ. Today is Wednesday night, and on Wednesday night we gather to study, and we thank God for the opportunity, and I thank each and every one of you that took time from your busy schedules to come and join us on the line as we explore the Word of God. Well, we are living in trying times, and there's so much going on every side. But God is in control. He never makes a mistake, and nothing that's happening can take him by surprise. If we trust God with our whole heart and realize those things that were said to be facts, we can make it. We can make it through the times, the signs of the times, and everything that's going on, because God is with us. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And if he said it, you can believe it. And at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for our program, our study on tonight. Once the song is played, we're going to have our dear sister Pam to come and bring us to God's throne of grace in prayer. The title of the song is Love is a Word That Comes and Goes.
Listen. The night that I cry, you love me.
Hallelujah.
When I should.
a song.
You gave me a song that you love.
Now I know I can go on.
Now I can go on, cause you love me.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a mystery to me now, Majesty Jesus.
The nights that I cried,
you love me.
When I should have died.
When I should have died, you love me.
Lord, I'll never know why. I'm grateful, Jesus.
It's a mystery to me now, Majesty Jesus.
Hallelujah.
When all hope was gone, you loved me.
Lord, you gave me a song.
You gave me a song that you loved me.
I'll never forget you, Jesus.
Now I can go on, cause you loved me.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery to me now, Majesty Jesus.
I'll love you, Jesus. And now I know.
What it really means.
Your love is everlasting.
What it really means.
Thank you, Jesus.
What it really means to love.
Your love endureth forever. Thank you, Jesus.
To love.
No one can love me like you do, Jesus.
To love.
Love you, Jesus. You hold me. And you keep me. Yes, you do, Jesus. Your life appears. The love of Jesus is all you need, GP.
Of that song was love, a word that comes and goes. That song also lets us know that Jesus is the epitome of love, and God allowed his son to work to walk on earth to give us an example of how to love. We have to line our love up with the things that Jesus did. The Bible asks us to take on the image of Christ. We have to learn to love as Jesus loved others. He loved them in spite of and not because of. And that's what we should do. At this time, Sister Pam is going to come on and bring us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. Sister Pam, I opened your mic.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Dear God, as we come to the end of this day, we thank you for life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your guidance and for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us under your watch care all day long. We thank you, Lord, for our Bible study. We thank you for our sister in Christ, our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Keep on using her, Lord. Equip her with the wisdom and with the knowledge that only you can give. Thanking you for the fellowship on tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you in advance for the word that's being brought forth on tonight. Lord, I pray that you help us to believe that your light will always overcome the darkness around us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, my sister. Thank you, Sister Pam, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you that you pray for us, not just on Wednesday night, but you keep our prayer list in front of you and you lay before God with it for all of prayer requests and everything that we have asked for in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, and I pray that God keeps strengthening you so you could do what he has given you to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, tonight is Wednesday, time for Bible study. Our lesson title tonight is, Your Mind is Either Talking You Into Doing Something or Talking You Out of Doing Something. I don't know if any of you ever experienced that, but that's the operation going on in my mind almost every second of every day. The mind is where the thought comes. But I want you to know it's not so much of the thought that comes to your mind, but it's what you do with the thought once it enters your mind will make the difference. And our scripture is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 13. As always, we do a little background, a little talk going into the lesson. And with the title being what it is, I believe we must learn to control our way of thinking. Y'all got to remember that Satan can only play in your mind. If Satan could kill us, we all probably would have been dead before we got saved. Come on now. And I know once we've gotten saved and he still tried to pull us away from the only true and living God with his limited power. But we are overcomers. And Satan will play in our mind. And sometimes we let the thoughts stay there too long till we start agreeing with it. Your mind is going to be talking you into doing something or talking you out of doing something. And that's a fact. You see, we as believers have a job to do, and we will not be able to achieve it unless we do what the scripture has told us. So if we go in the Bible to Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it gives us instructions what to do with our mind. And the scripture reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. A living sacrifice is giving your life to God for service and doing and loving and giving the way God wants us to act with one another. That's a living sacrifice. And verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It lets us know if we don't renew our mind, we will still operate in a system and the standards of the world that we operated in before we met Jesus. We have a new life, and we sometimes lay our newness down and pick up the old life for whatever reason. That's a trick of the devil in our mind. But we have to renew our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You see, we live in a world that's full of haters and evildoers. You know, hate surrounds us on every side, and evil is attached to his back. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says that the last days will be perilous times, and they will come. We are living in perilous times now, and we will live this way until Jesus comes back. But I got to let you know that it's going to get worse, because the Bible tells us that. It's not me, Diane. Check the scriptures. See, in addition to all of the things that's happened in the world today, I could take time right now and just, you know, call some of them out. But it shouldn't alarm us, because I read the scripture and the Bible told us that they will be that way. that it will be that way. You see, the virus is coming back. And they say this one is even worse than the first. We do have wars in the land. Strong storms, earthquakes, fires in places that never had fires. Our children are still killing each other on the streets daily. And our babies are being killed many times by the hands of their own parents. Here in Louisiana, the salt water is intruding the fresh water. Come on, y'all. Signs of the time, and the beat goes on. This is a dangerous world we're living in, and it is controlled by the God, little g, of this world, which is Satan, which standards are controlled by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you're living in those standards, you're living not in the kingdom of God. But you are living by the standards of the evil one. Only concern about your flesh, the pride of life, and lust of the eyes. You see, I come to tell you tonight that the children of God are in this world, but not of this world. We are living in the kingdom of God here on earth. And many times people have trouble understanding the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And I can't tell you that it's a place where you could go to such and such a street or such and such a state and find it. The kingdom of God here on earth is a moral standard, a moral way of thinking, a moral way of doing things, a moral way of loving mankind, a moral way of treating your neighbors as you treat yourself, a moral way that's seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, so that all things could be added to you. God didn't just save us and left us here. He gave us a realm to operate in, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, that we can be covered by the love of God. You see, the true cause of most of our problem is evil by those walking in darkness. 2 Corinthians 2:3-4 says, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We have to realize that our young youth that is walking up and down the streets and doing the things that they're doing is because they're blinded. The scriptures tells us Satan has placed a veil over their eyes that they can't see the light. They can only see darkness, so they lean to their own understanding. They do whatever seems right in their own eyes, and they are being manipulated. They are being really, you know, set up to fail. But they can't see it. The love of God cannot shine through them because of the veil. And we pray that God remove the veils from their eyes and they can begin to see and cry out and ask, what must I do to be saved? You see, the Bible says that men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. We see that all the time. Proud, blasphemous, slanderous, naughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We know that, y'all. But Jesus told us in Matthew 24:6, ye have heard of wars and rumors of wars. Listen to this carefully, y'all. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Some people believe that the end of the world was going to happen in 2000, and some believe it was here and there. The Bible lets us know no man knows the time or the hour when Jesus come back. He's coming as a thief in the night. So we just have to be prepared. God gave us his Bible, the 66 books, to help us to make it day by day in this world and teaching us not to be of this world. They say in verse 7, for nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine. Y'all know famine is all over the land, and there's pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. It is often said that love make the world go round, that pure hatred is in charge. Those in charge, our legislative body and our lawmakers, continue to make new laws. And yet nothing changed. I want to let you know tonight, if they never change another law, there's another law in the books that if people would obey them, it would be a better place. And it's no need for new laws, but we need more love. It's not a law thing, it's a heart thing. Dionne Warwick wrote a song so many years ago, and it still holds true now. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And she said, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. Do you agree tonight? That's just a little background. God is letting us know that these days would come. But I encourage you and let you know God is with us every step of the way. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He said he is our present help in a time of storm. And nothing that is happening around the world, in your city or state or your country, in your family, in your home, there's nothing that is taking God by surprise. God is omniscient. He knows all things, and he know it before the foundation of the world. And he have a master plan to make all crooked roads straight. He's going to shut all doors that need to be shut and fly the doors open that need to be open for his children. But you got to trust him and allow the Holy Ghost to lead you into righteousness and truth. And I hope you have your Bible. I pray that you had time to read the printed scriptures. But if you have your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians to the 13th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 1. See, all these things that's happening in the world is because of a lack of love, y'all. A lack of love. So sometimes you may wonder, I used the background and then now I'm coming into these scriptures. I'm going to talk a little bit about what the scripture says about love. Hallelujah. So if we look at verse 1, they say, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries of knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove a mountain, but have not love, I'm nothing. 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You know, you have to look at, maybe you have noticed people who do things that may be a good thing, but you know what's really, where it's really coming from. It's not coming from a place of love. The scriptures say you might have prophetic powers speaking. Well, it's going to talk about that a little later. But you might know a lot about the word of God. but you're not exact. You're not giving others the love of God. If you have the love of God, and you can anyone recognize it by your actions or your deeds? He said, because you could do it all, but it's not done from a good place of love. It has no profit. It has no value. It will not produce no fruit. You see, Paul is letting us know that no matter what you do or who you are, if love is not the driving force, it profits nothing. Love must be infused with all the spiritual gift that has been given unto you. They cannot, if it's not done with love, they will not be effective. You know, they have a lot of church leaders, and not just church leaders, but people who profess to be so good, and they do these things. And then you know it's not coming from a place of love. And you might say, well, how you know it's not from a place of love? One thing, if a person is boastful, they are trying to do all this to give you the impression of how good they are. But the word of God lets us know, show me your deeds and your works, and I'll see your fruit. The Bible is not designed for you do this and do this and get an ooey badge about all you did. People talk about, and I did this, and I did that, and I'm the only one did this. You know, you just do what you have to do, and you keep it moving. Because if you're telling it to man for a man's reward, the Bible say that's what you'll get. And we all want to receive rewards from God. So we have to watch how we do, what we do, when we do it, and why we do it. But let it be love be the center. I believe that everyone loves someone, but they can only extend that love towards the ones they love. If you only love those who do something for you, or only those that love you, you have no reward. Because the unsaved people do that. That's the way the people on the street do. They love their partners. People pick and choose who they want to love. But that's not the way God intended to be. Love is one of the primary characteristics of God. God has endowed us with the capability to love. Everybody got a capability of love. And you know it's true because they choose to love what they want to love, when they want to love it, and how they want to love it. There are people that love their animals more than mankind. There are people that love their things more than they love people. So, you know, God has given all of us the capability to love because that's his characteristic, and he wants us to take on his image. Since we were created in his image. And one of the fruit of the spirit when he came in and dwelled in us is love. You see, the Bible in Romans 13 and 8 says, we owe no man anything but to love one another. Many times there are people you have to break relationships with. The Bible says you still owe them love. And you can love afar. Many times people get confused with forgiveness. You can forgive, but it doesn't, and many times it's altered a relationship. But once the relationship altered, there still should be love there. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to try to hurt you, but I might not want to sit down with you every other day. The Bible said we owe no man but to love one another, for he that loveth another fulfilled the law. When you love somebody, you do the commandments that God wants us to do. He wants us to love one another. You see, for us to understand the kind of love that Paul is talking about, we must first look at the greatest example of love. You see, people sometimes want to model themselves after other people and figure if they could just do it like that, that it would be all right. But some of the time, what you're looking at is not real. It may be Memorex. So you have to watch trying to imitate someone else. Many times people will say, I want to pray like Sister Mary. Don't do that. I want to preach like Paul Martin. Don't do that. Because God has given each and every one of us what we need to do the assignments that he gave to us. And he made us uniquely and individually to be different. Because he knows the people that will hear and see, they don't all hear and see alike. So God used you and he used me. He don't ask me to do what he asked you to do. And he's not going to ask you to do what I do. But what he asks you to do is your responsibility to do it. You see, the greatest example is God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever perish, whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you, but that is the greatest love I've ever seen, experienced in my life. You see, God didn't pick and choose. He said, whosoever believes, let him come. John 15:13, greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, most of us will never be willing to do that, but some might do it for their family members, but they have a great friend. Some only love people that are nice to them, or people they think can do something for them. The Bible says that's the way that the world loves. And if you only love that way, you are loving worldly and not spiritually. Do the math. Examine ourselves. So let's look at it. What is love? Everybody seems to believe that love is a good thing. However, not all agree what love is. You see, according to the Bible, love is more than just a feeling, but a caring action. Some people who talk about love place it as a noun and have never let it transform into a verb action. Love isn't what we feel, but what we do. There's a saying that say love is what love does. There are many gifts that has been given to us to carry out our purpose in kingdom building, and we may be able to do them well. But if love is not the center, it gains nothing. Whenever we do or say something, God looks at the heart, y'all. You can say anything what you want with your mouth. And you think you sound good. And many times people, they don't realize that they have begun to have a little manipulativeness in their spirit, because they believe they could tell you anything the way they want to tell you, and you begin to believe it. But people can see through it, because the truth is going to prevail itself. You see, God searches the heart, the attitude, and the intent as to why and how you gave. You can say, oh, I'm doing this because da, 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 but God knows what's in your heart. The Bible said in James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not be so. You see, when Cain made his sacrifice to God, he made the sacrifice. The Bible don't say why God rejected it, but maybe it was not given in love or given from the heart, because God didn't accept it. And look what it did, caused strife. He got jealous and killed his brother, first murder in the Bible. And it was a brother killing a brother, and we see our children killing children on the street, and we are alarmed, and we are appalled. But I brought you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We must be careful how we use the things that God has entrusted us. Love is more important than all the spiritual gifts exercised. exercise in the body of Christ. Acts of dedication or sacrifice, the working of miracles, produce very little without love. Love is what makes our actions and gifts useful. That is why God says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Old Testament knew the law from the front to the back, then back to the front, but they didn't know how to love. And Jesus called them hypocrites. And that's what's happening when you say one thing and feel something else or have interior motives or hidden agendas as to why you do this for that person or why you do that for that person, and you're always constantly talking about how good you are. Jesus is our example as how to put our love in action. This is the reason the scripture in Matthew 7 says, many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, I have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. This scripture is telling us that we are reminded that on the day of judgment, I think when we be entering a pearly gate, some people that you believe should be there won't be. And some people you think would have made it wouldn't have. God searches the heart. See, they told him, look, I was doing the work. I prophesied in that name. I cast out the devils. I did this and this. God said, depart from me, you that work iniquities. Verse 4 in the scriptures that we studied in 1 Corinthians. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. True love, y'all. 6, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. When you say rejoice in wrongdoing, doing something that's wrong and be boastful about it. How you got over, how you made this happen. You did it, you did it. But it gets even worse when you boast about or rejoice at wrongdoing. Verse 7, love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never ends. For as prophecy, they will pass away. All of the speaking in tongues, they will cease. Come on, y'all. There's going to be a time when none of that's going to be necessary. And for knowledge, it will pass away. The Bible is letting us know love is the everlasting and it's eternal. You see, love is selfless, not selfish. And it always concerned with the welfare of others. Do you think about other people? Do you see someone with a need and just decide to do it because you can? Love must be given away to work. Come on, y'all. You must first learn to love yourself because you can't love someone else until you love yourself. And you can't love yourself until you understand the love of your maker. That's why so many people are looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, y'all. We got to realize that love is patient and kind, manifesting itself and being forbearing and having the capability to endure difficulties or trying circumstances without giving way to complaining and resistance. You see, love helps you from complaining. Sometimes people say, why me? Or this shouldn't be happening to me. But many times you're told, if not you, then who? You know, the scripture in the Bible in 1 Corinthians said, there's nothing that can happen to you that's not common to man. Because many times people feel like they're going through, they're the only person in the world ever had that to happen. The Bible says, if it happened to you, you're not the first and you won't be the last. But through it all, he will give you a way to bear it. Don't think, some people may think God picking on them. But it's not the case. Love is not jealous, looking with envy or resentment at what others have or be able to enjoy. I'm going to tell you this, and I know you can remember this. True love doesn't hate. It congratulates. Be glad with the blessings that others receive and the heights and the seasons that God is bringing them through. It doesn't hate, it congratulates. Love is not given to self-praise when you see given to self-praise. See, when you say, I, too many times, you should realize that something is wrong. I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I do this, and I did. Something's wrong. Those who have genuine love for others do not resort to boasting or bragging to make themselves appear superior to them. People have the tendency to tell the story the way that makes them feel better to fit their ego. That's not love, y'all, because love deals with the truth. Love has nothing that causes one to look down on others. You know, you are right with the homeless people. You treat them like people. You are right with the neighbor that is struggling. Because it could be you. You don't look down on others. You see, the loving person is not puffed up or swollen with conceit. Love don't put on airs. Love does not put on airs. I am this. I got this. I did this. First of all, everything you have is by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Everything that God allows you to do is by his mercy and his grace. So if you want to brag on anything, brag on Jesus. Thank him. We can't thank God the way that we should and give him glory if we take in all of the glory. True love allows people to see the real you. You don't have to boast and tell people who you are. Truly love one another and people will see it. You see, love never manifests itself in indecent, shameful, rude, or cruel ways or acts. It is a quality that is void of a hint of seeking own self-interest and demanding its own way. The loving person look at others realizing that everyone has value and therefore is not easily provoked to initiate by their failing, by the failings of the person, because the Bible tells us that all has fallen short of the glory of God. Love is not provoked or resentful, keeping a tally of hurts. And I have to tell you tonight that many of them, like we talk about renewing our minds and how Satan plays in our mind, many of those hurts, many may be real, but some are just imagined. That's the only way we may have experienced the account of the thoughtless words of others. People may have said something, not even meant it the way you took it. And then everybody, you know, everybody is still under construction and being worked on. So we all going to make mistakes. The loving person do not look for opportunities to get even or to even a score. When love is at work, injustice, wrong, and harmful developments are never the basis for rejoicing. Where there is love, there is compassion. Those who care about others do not take advantage of them and their misfortune through manipulation and deceit. Y'all know how people take advantage of people when they're down. I have a motto. I don't kick a person when they're already down on the ground. That's cowardly. And that's what that manipulation does. They look for those that are weak. Whatever contributions you can make to advance the misfortune of others, you should use every opportunity to do so. And you got to remember that people are only people. And the truth is what sets us free and allows freedom to love. You know, they have some people that are so evil, you may want to love them. And they're so evil, it's hard to love them. It happens many times in relationships that the person you trying to love on with pure love makes it so difficult for their anger and you know, you try to go west and they trying to go east. But many times it's hard to love some people, but love, the truth give us the freedom to love. And the scripture above say we still have to love all of them. But you see, in some cases, it changed the relationship. Those who endeavor to be loving in their dealing believe in the possibility for improvement and betterment and are willing to wait patiently as they seek to be a positive influence for good. Everybody can change. Or Christ's death would have been in vain. Everybody can change, but everybody won't change. The loving person seeks to make the best of the existing circumstances and does not resort to lawless ways to force change. Come on now, you know when something happens and you say, Lord, if I just do this or I do that, lawless ways. I don't qualify for food stamps, but I'm going to get a fake check stub. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Many things, I don't know about you, that, you know, we have done in life, changed the record to be able to fit into the criteria to get what we want when we don't really qualify. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. But you see, when I understood the love of God and that God will supply my every need and how much he loved me and he would never forsake me and he wasn't going to leave me, you know, I began to turn from those ways and began to turn to God and trust God, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I can remember myself saying, I ain't going to do nothing like that anymore because it's like I'm making monkey shine on the power of God. We have to wait till our change comes. God knows our every situation, but we don't turn to love allows us not to have to turn to unlawful ways of doing things. You see, because love never fails. The content suggests that this is not to be understood to mean that love always succeeds. It doesn't. Rather, as a quality, love is eternal. It's one of the things that we do for Christ is going to last. They told you about all of those other things that's going to fail and they're going to not be necessary. And you see, they're not going to be necessary when Jesus come back. We don't have to worry about getting to heaven and knowing if we could speak in tongues. It's for us, our usefulness here on earth and prophecy. Everything's going to be accomplished by that time. So there would be no need for that. And that's what the scripture is telling us. But love is going to remain because what you do in love towards other is going to be credited to your account. When Jesus appears, he says he's going to have the rewards in his hand. And the Bible speaks about crowns that the believers will receive. 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Remember that, y'all. The scriptures lets us know how important love is. Whereas the apostle has indicated that the miraculous gift should cease, faith, hope, and love will remain. An approved relationship regarding Christ continue to rest on faith right now, right? And the fulfillment of the divine promise that is yet to come in the future, making hope, come on, y'all, essential. Where we are living now in the church age, waiting for Jesus to return, we need faith so that we can see things that are not present. And we have to have hope to hold on. So that's why hope and faith is essential now. But faith relates to the things we do not see. When that which is yet unseen becomes a tangible reality, faith is connected with the aspect is no longer needed. When it then came to pass and we could see all of the glory, we don't have to have faith. Because faith is in the things we can't see. But when we see it, we don't need faith. I hope you got it. You see, faith or trust finds its fulfillment through sight. Hope is realized when the hoped for object comes into one possession. I hope to get a new car. Once I get the new car, I don't need to hope anymore. I hope, my hope is in my salvation. Once my salvation is granted, well, it's granted now, but once I walk in it and receive it, I don't have to hope for it no more because it's there. You see, a card in relationship of their objects, the objects, faith and hope are subject to transformation. It's going to bring us to where we need to go, and then it's no longer needed. But love, however, is constant. That makes love the greatest of the three. God is neither faith nor hope. He is love. This is the attribute that is the manifestation of his complete identity. God is love. And because of that, God, that's how God can love us in spite of who we are. We all are filthy rags. We all fall short. We all do things we don't want to do. But he loves us in spite of and not because of love. Paul, the writer of this, is just letting us know that love never ends. All of our gifts, prophecy, tongues, knowledge, it's going to cease. And I pray that we put our sights on things that are eternal and begin to realize only those things we do for Christ is going to last. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Anyone who would like to say anything at this time, if you place your phone on mute, you could open your phone up and press the one on your phone, and I'll be able to open the mic and you'll be able to speak. If anyone would like to say anything tonight, you could just press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is
5049.
Hey, my darling.
Hey, Sister Diane, I just wanted to tell you that I enjoyed the lesson, and I pray that God continues to bless you and lift you up. And congratulations on your grandbaby.
Thank you, my darling. Thank you. Anyone else? I think that's caller 225-302. Your mic is open.
Hello. Just hello,
Sister Dana Porter.
Hello, Mom. How you doing?
My daughter.
Yeah.
In another city.
Yeah, another state.
A state.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for a most powerful lesson. You know, I taught a class yesterday, our Bible study class here, one of our classes here, and just asking people to lead with kindness. And that kindness is based on and built from an attitude of loving one another, whether we like one another or not. And so this just, you know, regurgitated with me yet again to be able to share more with others. So thank you.
Thank you, my sister. And see, even in many organizations, and especially in the church, if we truly love everybody the way we should love them, all of the cliques would dissolve.
Exactly.
Think about it. No big eyes, no little you.
Right. And releasing that attitude of I-ism, you know, I did this and I did that, and realizing that any and everything is only by the grace of God. So, yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
Thank you, my daughter. Love you so much.
Love you, too.
Anyone else? If there's nothing else for tonight, I thank you guys again. And I pray that God teach me how to truly love. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost that live and dwell inside of us is circumcised in our heart by God's Spirit. The Old Testament, they circumcised by man's hand. You know, they took the knife and moved the foreskin. That is still happening, but the circumcision is being made to our hearts by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. So I ask the Holy Ghost daily to remove anything in me that's not of God. Teach me how to truly love one another. I mean, truly. And I pray that God help me to control my mind. And I'll give a little bit of example when goes back to my title. You're either talking yourself into something or talking yourself out of something. Of course, I'm talking on a spiritual aspect. We're talking out of doing things God has told you to do. But some of the simple things, we need to go wash the dishes. But we don't feel like it right now. And we put all of these excuses in our mind. We talking ourselves out. Oh, I'll get it tomorrow, and you don't do it. Oh, I need to go to the gym. I need to walk. But you make up these things that talk you out of doing it, and you don't. But that's the same thing that it does with the spiritual things. God wants you to go forward, maybe, and you're not. Or God wants you to give, and you're not. You know, whatever. But our mind is doing that, and that's what we addressed on the night. And we know that love is the essence of all things. I pray that the lesson tonight was something that you can use or apply to your life, because it's all about using the tools that God gives us through study to be effective in kingdom building. Kingdom builders need to operate in pure love. Pure love. When these things start coming in your mind that you know shouldn't be there, do what the Word of God said. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are a good report. We got to transform our mind, y'all, away from our old way of thinking in some cases. And even we may have developed new ways of thinking that doesn't line up with the Word of God. But we just have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of God, that we can prove what is good and acceptable service. We have to continue to press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. And everything is going to be all right. That's the lesson for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on next Wednesday. But until then, I pray that everyone go in peace, and may the love of God be with each and every one of you and bless you really good. Until next Wednesday, good night.